Welcome back to Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drance here live from the Kintec studio. Protect your home with Westside Pest Control. They have the tools and know how to eliminate your wasp problem. Don't live in fear. Visit westsidepestcontrol.com. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. And speaking of the Dunbar Lumber text line, it's coming to your defense. On the Coovers bit, the Pat McAfee Coovers bit, Drancer. People saying, I love it. Keep doing the Coovers bit.
Okay.
So it was just the angry, loud minority yesterday ripping you. The silent, typically silent majority is chiming in today. So we can keep going to it, at least in moderation.
Thank goodness.
Okay. It's going to be a bit of a different edition of the whiteboard today. We just got the Rick Tocchet audio in as well. So we'll try to play some of that. But let's get into the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
Oh, whoa, whoa!
Fight from, yeah.
Coovers. How good is that drop, Dom?
Oh, my gosh.
Dom?
Yeah, it's good.
You love it, right?
Yes, I like when our city gets international recognition, yes.
Oh, it's
Coovers. Better when he's doing it, though.
Yeah, obviously.
He was trying to fight from, yeah.
Coovers. It's very good. I can't deny it. It's
Coovers.
Very good.
All right. It's your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks. It's May 15th. We'll start with the headlines, and we don't need to get more into the game last night, really, because we've got new headlines to digest. Elias Pettersson is going through it. We knew that, and we just heard it in the audio we played in the last segment.
It's very fun playing in the playoffs.
Vancouver Coovers.
You okay? Can you speak?
It feels like when you get, you know, like if you're a dejected teenager or like going through a moody teenager and they come home from school, it's like, how was school? Fine. You know what I mean?
100%.
That's kind of the vibe.
Or like when you have to apologize to your sibling, but you've been told you have to apologize to your sibling. So it's like, I'm sorry that I ripped your Leonardo DiCaprio poster.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that a thing you did?
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I was just trying to think of something 90s.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I went swimming within an hour of eating.
That sounds goth.
Wouldn't you be apologizing to yourself for that one? Like, who are you apologizing? That's not. There's no one harmed except you in that scenario.
I'm pretty sure it's a myth.
I don't know.
I think you can swim immediately after you eat. That's my personal
view. Bad for digestion.
I mean, also, like, what are we talking about? Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to cramp? Okay.
Also,
you get out and stop swimming.
Also, how long do you think gum really exists in your small intestine?
A decade.
Forever.
Do you think if you go cross-eyed while looking at Magikarp,
where are we
you
going here?
Like
where are we going?
I don't know.
Should we get back to the Coovers pit?
I should bring up 90s stuff that people told me was true that I'm pretty confident was not. You don't think about this stuff?
No.
Really?
No.
And how, like, we all had the same experience with all these weird old wives' tales that, like, absolutely were not true?
I can't say that I do. But okay. I get what you're saying. But, like, it's just not top of mind for me. I
My mean, favorite I people- is don't sit too close to the TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So many weird ones. And then there was always, like, and everyone had the same number of years. It'll be 7 years before you digest that gum. Will it? How did every parent, like, did you all get a memo?
So are you saying that Pettersson's struggles are an old wives' tale?
No, they're real. I'm saying his reaction to it's fun playing in the playoffs, it's like, it really... So I think fans will come out of hearing that audio more concerned.
100%. I think that's a fair reaction.
I think so, too.
I don't think it, again, like, conclusively says anything about where it's going. But again, as I said earlier in the show, like, if you're grasping at positivity straws when it comes to Elias Pettersson, like, they're few and far between right now. And if you were hoping to hear something to point in the right direction, give you that little bit of confidence that his game's coming around from him today, you didn't get that. You got just the opposite, right? That he seems as frustrated and literally as out of answers as everyone else. I mean, to the point of actually, you know, I think it was in response to Farhan's question, right? Why has it been such a struggle for you to generate? Yeah, good question. Farhan follows up. Any thoughts, any answers? No. Like, literally, do you have answers? No. That's where we're at with Elias Pettersson. That's where we're all at, right? Like, that's where everyone, that's where Rick Tockett is at. You got any answers? No.
Yeah.
We all know what the questions are.
And
nobody knows what the answers are.
And last night, like, because there was more to it, right? Tockett was like, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
It's so puzzling, right? Like, it's so...
We've talked about it from, like, every different angle, right?
Yep.
Confidence.
Injury,
physical.
Speculation.
Yeah, teammates. Like, moving his feet. You know, deployment. All of this. And it's like, it's all of that. It's also kind of none of that simultaneously. You know what I mean? It's just, what do you say at this point?
It also is so hard to fathom, given how dominant he was earlier on this season and last season. You know, it's like we've basically had two 30-game stretches now in Pettersson's career where it's been like, I don't even know what to say. And then all of the rest of it where it's like, he's one of the best players in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like there's a gap or like a mid-range. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
Pettersson has dominated for 340 games of his career. And it's been impossible to explain the other 60. I don't know. Like, honestly, it's one of the most confusing analytical problems that I've ever contended with as a hockey analyst. And usually when it's like relatively small sample stuff, right? I mean, what, 60 or 70 games where Pettersson's been far from his usual form, versus the far larger sample of him being excellent, right? Over a point per game guy for his career, consistent play driver, consistent efficiency driver. Like, I'm always going to prioritize the far larger sample, but that's not something you can take to the bank as a team that needs to win two of the next three against a top team in the Western Conference. So it's just a really complicated one.
It is very, very complicated. You know, he sounds dejected. He sounds, as I said, out of answers. He did suggest, when asked about different line mates, yeah, maybe it could help. So maybe some underlying frustration with who he's being asked to play with there as well, which would be understandable.
Super understandable.
To a degree, certainly. Man, just more questions, more concerns coming out of Elias Pettersson chatting with the media today at Rogers Arena. Okay, normally don't play audio during the whiteboard, but we do want to fit it in the show here. And I'm just very curious to hear from the head coach. So we probably won't get all of Rick Tockett's commentary in today, but let's hear at least a little bit of it. Here is Canucks head coach Rick Tockett.
Petey, how disappointed were you with last night's game too?
That was Petey again. We got Tockett here.
We definitely don't need to listen to that.
I was going
to
say, I don't know that we need to put our listeners through that again.
Coovers.
All right. Hopefully, we will hear from Canucks head coach Rick Tockett momentarily here, at least some of what he had to say about his team's performance and some of the options he has going forward as well, going into game five at home tomorrow night. And 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Lots of thoughts coming in. But in terms of headlines, and I know we've talked a little bit about lineup tweaks and everything, we'll hear from Rick Tockett in a second, but obviously a big part of the story going into tomorrow's game is, what does Rick Tockett do personnel-wise, right? And whether that's juggling the lines, whether that's bringing somebody else in who hasn't played yet or back into the series, we'll see. But let's hear more on that from the man himself. Here now is Canucks head coach Rick Tockett.
Just a day later, I'm sure you've watched the game back a little bit, and if you've had a chance to digest, what did you see?
Well, the resilience to see of tying the game, I love that. We've done that all year. A little disappointed in the sense we had a chance, you know, to go up 3-1 if we dug in a little bit. But playoffs are a game-to-game thing. You have to have a short memory, and that's the way you look at it. You know, we're tied 2-2 coming in our building. That's a pretty good situation. So, but we do have to correct a few things.
You were pretty upset post-game and talked about potential lineup changes. who are some of the names you're considering as maybe going in?
Well, everybody's in play. You know, like, we have a couple of guys that could come in. I don't know at this moment who's going to come in. Still got to go over a few things. Still watching video with the coaches and stuff like that. Chemistry, that all comes into play. You know, obviously we need a better forecheck against Edmonton. We all know that. We'll figure that out today.
Rick, you didn't couch your feelings last night. And, you know, shocking when you hear half a dozen players who were passengers in a playoff game with so much at stake. I've heard coaches in the past say, will will beat skill when skill has no will. Could we describe that with a few of your players? And do we need to see more of that?
Yeah, I just think, like, you know, you got to remember, too, that some guys have not been in this environment before. So it's really hard sometimes for some guys to sustain it. And you got to make a push. You know, some guys react different in-game on some stuff. You know, I know, you know, the crowd got excited when Kane hits Z. It wasn't Z, was laughing. It's not a big deal, but that's where you're looking for some guys to go on the ice and make a push. Not fight or anything like that. And I just felt like we played a little bit passive in those situations. That's where you got to really go at Edmonton. You know, we know who Edmonton is. And there was spurts last game. We had them the second. There was about five shifts in a row. We had a ton of chances. In the third, I thought we saw them, but we got to do it for 60 minutes. And you got to put yourself in positions to want the puck and to forecheck. It seems like we're reacting after the play, not during the play. It's we all know pucks going there. You should be already there. Think we're like, oh, the puck's there. Now I got to go. A second in hockey, a second and a half is huge. I don't think people realize how big that is, a second and a half in hockey.
Two-part question. Elias has, I think, one 5-on-5 point, and that was in the Nashville series. No points 5-on-5 against the Oilers. What are you seeing from him, Rick? I mean, because there's frustration there. And then the second part is, Ilya Mikheyev, one goal in 60 games.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the forecheck facility? Pod Colson could possibly do that for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And is Jonathan Lekkerimäki a wild card for you, perhaps?
Wow. I mean, I think everybody's in play when you're in the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? Because, you know, it's do or die. with Petey, all fairness to him, you know, I'm not sure he's getting sometimes the help he needs. But saying that, I think he still can drive play a little bit better. I think he can still, when the puck comes, move his feet and, you know, be more dynamic. He's got the skill set, you know. So I think that's a two-part question. But, you know, winning that faceoff was big for us to tie the game. You know, there's a lot of different things. Yeah, do we need Mikheyev, these guys? Yeah, we need more, of course. I said it last night. Proof's in the pudding. That's why maybe Podsy's in play, Baines, who knows? But, yeah, like I said after the game yesterday, a new game, you can be a hero. Like, you can, you know, I'm not just saying about Pete, anybody. Anybody has plays well tomorrow and we win, usually you don't think about how the other games, he hasn't been that good. I'm not, like I said, I'm talking in general, that you can be a hero. So once you have that, you know, and I mean, a hero could be a great block at the end. It could be a great forecheck. It could be a great pass. I don't know, whatever the hero is, take that approach. Don't worry about what's happened in the past.
Those five or six passengers, what
I might
is
be
it?
Off a couple. I might.
The, you know, the guys that you're feeling frustrated about, what is it they aren't bringing, and what is it that you're looking at those other options? What would they need to bring to the table to make the switch?
Well, I just think that being a little more assertive, and I'm not saying by hitting, it just seems when you're backwards skating or you're late on the forecheck or there's a coverage where we need you to be in a certain position, or if there's a when Edmonton's making that push and you're supposed to be the second quick guy and you're a second half delay of getting in there and then they get the puck, those are huge plays. So whether it's not like pass, it's not that they're not working, it's just it's more of a second and a half delay in their brain of and I'd rather them be more assertive, and that's what you're looking for. You know, I look at Tyler Myers, he's banged up, and I watched him last game and he gave everything he had. That's what I'm looking for.
In similar terms, you can look across and say a guy like Dreisaitl who's probably playing hurt and look how well he's playing. Is that a thing you can point to with Petey, say, look at their stars, look what they're able to do?
Yeah, there's just certain times. Yeah, you look at Dreisaitl, there's, you know, he's got, I know he's a big man. I mean, he's a big man, but he gets that puck, even when there's people on him, he's not afraid to hold it. And that creates, you know, then all of a sudden you got a double and then he gives the open man. I think we just have to have a little bit more, not his mentality, but just a more of an assertive mentality. I think if we do that, and like I said, we've won this year because of the crest. We've won because of the Vancouver. We didn't win of individuals. It's not this guy, this guy. And if you play as a team, it helps individuals. You know, that's the way I look at it.
That is a little bit of what Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet had to say today.
They've won because of the crest, which is why Mikheyev stays in the lineup, because he keeps hitting it.
You see, Frank,
that's our show for today, folks.
Frank Saravelli's column about, like, again, it was like testicles related in some way. It's like a lot of testicles talk in this series, especially about the Oilers. More than I was anticipating, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I mean, not a huge surprise. You know, the thing about Frank is he gets the bag.
I could see you thinking, like, you're just watching. Okay, how can I make a balls joke here?
Anyways, in terms of headline stuff there from Tocchet, I would say, like,
you expect me to resist low hanging fruit?
A little bit more of a conciliatory tone from Rick Tocchet than what he had last night, I would say. What, you disagree?
I just love you just being like, and moving on.
I'm going to move on. We're not doing 5 minutes of balls jokes to end the show.
No, nor should we. Look, like, more conciliatory tone from Rick Tocchet. I think that's dead on.
Yeah, no low blows.
He's taken a big gamble here, right? Like, make no mistake, blasting your team at this point in the season, specifically a player who is playing with a couple guys who've really not produced anything.
Mm-hmm. And Tocchet acknowledged that. I thought, you know, kind of went out of his way to be like, yes, he could be getting more
and
help.
And so did Petey. Like, mm-hmm. I heard from people around the league who were just like, man, he doesn't have a lot to work with to be getting blasted by his coach. You know, like, that was a pretty common, like, and so I'm not surprised that Petey leaned into it, and I'm not surprised that Tocchet was conciliatory about it, because it's just true. It's not the whole story, as mm-hmm. Tocchet acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the whole story, as Pettersson acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the whole story, as we're acknowledging, but it is a fact of life here. Like, it's a fact. I think Tocchet's taken a big gamble, but again, he's got such good feel for this group. This group has responded every time he's done this, right? After the Philadelphia game, we had it a few times creep in over the course of the season, and every time we got the desired response from this group. Or he did. I'm really curious to see if it works in game 5, because this is, it's not do or die, it's not must win time, but we all know the leverage of game 5. Like, we all know how much that means for each team, right? Whoever wins that game, it'll go a long way toward deciding who wins this series.
I think that's fair to say. Yes, game 5.
I don't think there's any
famously
question about
pivotal
it.
in a best of 7 series.
I mean, yeah, the odd number ones. 1, 3, 5, 7.
Seven, especially 7.
Yeah. Well, and the Canucks have not lost consecutive games yet.
Yeah. That's true.
I still think, right? Like, so long as you don't lose consecutive games, you keep the pressure on your opponent.
All right. Those are your headlines for today. We'll just wrap up the whiteboard here quickly with an update on the odds from everyone's favorite, Dom Lucision. Has it back to 64% chance for the Oilers to advance. Yes, the series is tied, but obviously when you wait that they were, I think they were 75% favorites in going into the series when the series was tied at 0-0. So makes sense to see that from the model's perspective where they are. Betting update for us here.
Yeah. In terms of the betting update, the odds are, I'm sure, open already. I just need to pull them up.
Vancouver, Coolvers.
Thank you. I needed that to kill time. Appreciate it.
Coolvers.
So the Vancouver Canucks have opened as +125 home dogs. I think the Canucks have been underdogs in every single game of this series.
Mm-hmm.
And that continues. The Oilers are -150 road favorites going into game five, that's a 60% probability, implied probability for the Oilers. So that's why I messed up the 6. Over is set at 6.5. Steam, actually, on the under, you can get even money betting the over 6.5, which for the most part has been a pretty good bet in this series, although it didn't
not
pay
last
out
night.
Last night.
All right, that is the whiteboard for today. As somebody texted in, Drance is so predictable, that Mikheyev crest joke made no sense, yet I was fully expecting it and could hear the silence in his voice as he thought it up. I think we all saw the roadmap where that one was going, but I appreciate you going there.
I think there's like a Batman origin story where a goalie's crest harmed Mikheyev's family and he's seeking vengeance.
All right, we will end on that note. Another playoff game day tomorrow, game five.
We will end on
for
that
the
note.
Canucks and the Oilers. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about it here on Sportsnet 650.